Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. A subject for you to ponder today on a cloudy Saturday. If you're not out running, you have no excuse but to be listening to this show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you're driving and this is your first time, fasten your seatbelt a little tighter. You're going to need it. We're going to get into the teeth today. Huge subject. I'm sure I will not finish it. I've done, I think, two outstanding seminars at my school, two seven-hour seminars on the teeth, everything you need to know, and even more, and we're still not done. Within the month, I'm going to bring on my favorite dentist, Dr. Randolph Aguilera, and we're going to sit down for a series of two, maybe 3 weeks, and I'm going to ask him all those questions that you want to ask him. In fact, if you have a good question, I think perhaps what we're going to do is have you send your comments ahead of time. That's a new one. And perhaps Dr. A can get through them along with me during the show, one or two or three or however many, and however this actually evolves. Why? The teeth are big, bigger than you know. Okay, yes. Point one, you need them to chew. Big deal. Tell you something you don't know. Number two, aesthetically speaking, if they rot out, not pleasant. Dental work is costly. We know all of that. But what you don't know, or what you don't have a deep enough understanding of, or what you couldn't, I know I certainly couldn't if I didn't do what I do the way I do it, and that is that the teeth, all 32, or if you have your wisdom teeth extracted, all 30 to 32 teeth, or if you were born like me with an extra 8 to 10 teeth in the mouth, yes, some of you can relate, your God-given teeth, hopefully aligned, hopefully straight, hopefully straightened, hopefully without decay, hopefully on set, solid, symmetrical, occlusive surfaces. Your teeth are the junction box. First point, biggest point, I'll keep repeating it. Your teeth are the junction box between your hypothalamus, your pituitary, your pineal, and every cell in your body. That's the relay switch. If the teeth are off, the circuit's off. Now, what's your physical experience of that? You see, that's the problem. If you don't really feel a cranial rhythm, if your teeth are not flexible, if when you bite down on each and every opposing tooth surface, you don't feel like you're getting a massage up in your brain, if you don't have relationship with what I'm saying, then what I just said doesn't mean anything. Yes, yes, you know that each tooth is connected to a different organ. That's holistic hearsay. Of course, the ADA doesn't back that, but we'll talk about the ADA, good and bad. The teeth, every tooth, goes to a separate organ. As always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, that's two T's, straighttalk.cc. If you're driving, of course, don't do that. Get to the website when you get home. Picture 39, take a peek. Picture number 30 time, bring it up. The tooth-organ relationship chart. There's a theory. There's a rumor. Some swear by it. Some swear against it. That each tooth is related to the organ. So what does that imply if you lose the tooth? Don't even want to get into it. Don't want to hear you ask me about some tooth that goes to some organ, and that organ's got a problem, and if you pull that tooth for whatever reason and stretch the limit of reality, maybe go against traditional dentistry and pull that tooth, knock it out because some holistic guy told you that it's going to rot out your organ, don't ask me that one. Not sure if I have faith in any of this. There you go, on public record. What does that mean? It means the holistic perspective Now, I'm going to say this because I've done it so many times with so many people. Taken people with problems, serious health problems, and watch them go and extract teeth and fix teeth and take the metal out of teeth and all these different things with the intention of finding that it made a difference to that organ. Haven't seen it. Not once. I go on record to say that. What have I seen? So don't walk away. What have I seen? If you have an infected tooth and you're not taking care of it, if you have an osteomyelitis into the bone, the tooth socket, if you have a root canal, if you have decay irritating the pulp cavity, if you have a malocclusion, meaning occlusal surfaces don't touch, your teeth are crooked, if your periodontal ligaments are constantly inflamed, if your teeth are, the gums are rotting, if you haven't had the privilege of a hygienist in 10 years and you've got so much tartar, plaque, streptococcus mutants hanging off the root of your teeth, creating decay and God knows what else, if your teeth are in neglect, are you going to hurt your organ systems? Yes, 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 and yes. So this tooth organ chart is correct, but capital B, capital U, capital T, boldface print, 25 exclamation points. If you have an asymptomatic tooth, do not hallucinate some idea. Do not delude yourself into thinking that because you have a sick organ, that a tooth that's barely infected, hardly symptomatic. In other words, a tooth that you feel fine about. Don't drink Kool-Aid with holistic practitioners telling you to just pull those teeth, root canal those teeth against the advice of your dentist. Now, why am I saying that? I've seen it. There is a movement in holistic dentistry, well-intentioned, but it takes a lot of people over the top. And of course, the Germans have a perception of this too. And we'll get to that with root canals. That a root canal tooth, however asymptomatic, however disinfected, however solid, even though it was root canal, is a source of infection. And if you've got that lump in your breast, and if you've got that prostate cancer, and if you've got that autoimmune disease, and if you've got that heart disease, there is some guy in the background named Weston Price that's going to tell you to pull that tooth. And if you do, you're going to get better. And if you don't, you're never going to get better. I got to tell you, I want you to really think about that and listen to what I have to say today. And I want you to understand those statements should be qualified. Qualified to... If you have any tooth in your mouth that's symptomatic, any tooth in your mouth that's infected, you're at risk. That you're going to decide that that tooth means that organ has a problem, good luck with that one. That you're going to infer, conclude, delude yourself into thinking that if you fix that tooth, that organ's going to heal. That if you don't fix that tooth, that organ can't heal. You got to watch it with that. Because I want to get into holistic dentistry today, but I'm going to make a statement to you from tons of experience with holistic dentistry. Believe me, tons. And that statement is, half the time, more than half the time, the problem is not holistic, is not dentistry. Most of the time, the holistic solution is get a good dentist, holistic or otherwise. Much of the evolution of holistic dentistry came off the back of poor standard dentistry. Now, there's exceptions. Certainly, the metal amalgams are an exception to that. But there's a whole genre that we're only going to have a little time to get into today in holistic dentistry that's going to ask you to do a lot of different things. And a lot of those things evolved off the back of very poor general dentistry. So before you go holistic, make sure you've got your basic foundational dentistry covered. That's why you got to listen to the show today, because we're going to get into some of the basics. And a lot of these basics are overlooked. As always, somebody's leaving out the things that are dangling right at the end of your nose. So let's get to a little basics, right? Don't overlook the basics. Picture number one. There's a tooth. Enamel. You're looking at the picture. Enamel. Dentin tubules. Millions and millions of tubules per tooth. What's the dentin all about? Can you find the dentin in your own mouth? Can you smile into a mirror and find your dentin? Can you see that white enamel ending and that kind of yellowish stuff beginning? That's your dentin. If your gums are receding, if you have a crown and your gums are receding, and you start to see that other color deeper than the enamel, that's the dentin. That dentin composes the root of the tooth, the root. What do we mean by the root of the tooth? Okay, I got a great picture of a bunch of funny-looking roots. So we can go two for one. Go to picture number 36. Learn to navigate. We got to be navigators in the age of computers. Navigate to picture 36. There you go. Those are roots. Now, those are aberrant roots. Those are anomalous roots. Those are roots that you hope you don't have. If you have to root canal a tooth like that, you better have a great endodontist. Definitely not a dentist. And even that endodontist is going to need a microscope. But if he doesn't have a microscope and he's got a great set of hands, he can do more than a microscope. Your best endodontists don't even use microscopes. How's that? You never knew that. Nothing replaces tactile senses. Nothing replaces kinesthetics in dentistry. It's the feel in that canal. But these are the roots of the teeth. A tooth can have one root, two roots, three roots, or four roots. A tooth can have three roots and a little mini root. I want you to know what the root of a tooth is, because the root is the dentin. There are tubules in that root, and you got to understand it. So, back to anatomy, page one, picture number one. That's the enamel. There's the dentin. And you look at the pulp cavity and the canal of the tooth. We say root canal. That's a canal in the root of the tooth. In that canal is the nerve of the tooth going all the way into the pulp cavity. In that canal is the artery. In that canal is the vein. This is all pretty small stuff now. That's not your aorta up that canal. This is little micro line. Everything's teeny tiny. Gets plugged up easily. If it gets infected, that's a problem. Very important. Basics. So there's that canal. There's the dentin, which is the root of the tooth. One root, two root, three roots, four roots, an accessory root, a crooked root, a root inflection, a calcified root, a short root. And we break it down to the crown, which is the dentin, the neck. The neck of the tooth is like a neck. It's where the tooth kind of pushes in. That makes sense. Neck of your thigh bone, the neck of the tooth. Then there's the socket. That's the bone. The tooth, the roots of the tooth are stuck to the bone. The roots of the tooth are stuck into the bone. Go to picture number four. We're going to build on this a little bit. Now there's picture number four. You got it. One is the crown, two is the neck, three is the root. You got it. Components of a tooth, the occlusal surface. That's what those teeth bite down on each other. And that's important. Occlusion. Why? Here's one they didn't tell you in dental school. More often than not, it's the inflammation in the periodontal ligament because of poor occlusion that creates the pain. And yes, that pain can simulate a root canal, an infected nerve root, any day of the week. And lots of people get root canals when it was inflammation in the periodontal ligament because of poor occlusion. You can't be ignorant about your teeth. Even if you have a dentist that's well-intended, and we have those, I don't think there are that many of them. That's a harsh statement. But if you follow dentistry, I think if you follow politics, it leads to some very biased opinions. Opinions to protect, opinions to create profit, opinions Well, let's just say people stay ignorant. That's part of human nature. Certainly the metal amalgam thing, and that the ADA supports it, is ignorance, but you don't need to listen to this show on that topic. What you need to do is take a look at this picture, the occlusal surfaces. If your bite is not perfect, the periodontal ligament. Look down the periodontal ligament. The periodontal ligament is this tough, fibrous, connective tissue that ties, that connects the root of the tooth to the bone. That's what ligaments do. They connect bone to bone. The ligaments in the shoulder, the ligaments in the knee, the ligaments in the ankle. Ligaments connect bone to bone. You have ligaments in your teeth. It's called the periodontal ligament. If it gets inflamed, bacteria gets up there. What bacteria? Plaque. Plaque. Dental plaque. Dental plaque. Streptococcus mutans. And lots of other bacteria that we call plaque. Plaque creates acid as it eats sugars. And that's one big driver on tooth decay. Wait a minute. Plaque, tooth decay? I thought they were different things. Yes and no. More plaque on teeth, you can run into a tooth decay issue. Definitely more plaque on teeth, since tons of bacteria inhabit the mouth. That plaque can begin to irritate that periodontal ligament and that gum, because plaque bacteria make poisons. Poisons irritate tissues. Now, if you add to that a malocclusion, an unadjusted bite, a bite that's off because someone put crowns on, because someone did a root canal and put crowns on, because you grind and clench, for whatever reasons, once that occlusal surface is off, you inflame the periodontal ligament, a pocket opens up, bacteria drops down low into that area, and you're going to get pain just like you might with a root canal. So get to know your periodontal ligament. Dentin tubules. Get to that in a moment. The apical foramen on the bottom there. At the end of that canal is a hole. Way down on the bottom. At the end of the root of the tooth is a hole. And out of that hole comes the nerve. Actually, into that hole goes the nerve. That nerve is a branch of a cranial nerve, trigeminal nerve, cranial nerve number 5. So your brain has these big Ronzoni strings coming out. They're called the cranial nerves. One of those nerves is cranial nerve 5. It's called the trigeminal nerve, trigeminal neuralgia. People that get bad pain in the face. That nerve, cranial nerve 5, extends out of your head, down your jaw, bifurcates, gets microscopic, very teeny tiny, runs along the edges of your upper and lower jaws, and then drops itself through the apical foramen right into the pulp cavity. Good. Meditate on that for a second. Each of your teeth are numbered. So let's look at picture number 5. I think that's the best way to do this. And then take your two fingers and spread that picture bigger. All right, if that picture's too small, you can make it bigger. Control plus. Or put two fingers on the touchpad and push your fingers away. It makes the picture bigger. Yes, many people don't even know that. The universal numbering system. The upper quadrant, upper right, is tooth 1. That is what? That's your wisdom tooth. You may not have it. 16's the other end. 17's below it. 32's the last one. You've got 4 wisdom teeth. 1, 16, 17, 32. Yours may be there. They may not be there. They may be impacted. They may be impacted into the bone. They may be crooked. They may all have come in perfectly. Should you get them out? Should you keep them? Will they develop a cavitation unless it's been debrided correctly and not by a dentist, an oral surgeon? Lots of questions. Come to the class. It's my last class on the teeth. Tomorrow, 7 straight hours. I have 2 spots. We did big gathering last Sunday. Fantastic. I think it was the best lecture I've ever done. A ton of information. Information I can't even say on the air. Yeah, that's why you should come. important stuff. Stuff you're not going to be told by your dentists or your holistic practitioners. Inside stuff. Inside trading information. 714-850-1007. Just call and sign up. Don't get too inquisitive. It'll deliver. 32 teeth, each one numbered. Get to know those numbers so you can talk to your dentist. Don't stay in the dark about your teeth. You're very vulnerable. That's all I'll say. The teeth are numbered. Fantastic. The teeth have roots. Fantastic. Let's start with decay. Little anatomy. Now let's go for it. Stages of decay. The stages of decay. Let's look at picture number 8. I love this picture. Stages of tooth decay. Number 1. The enamel of the tooth. The white part of the tooth. That part of the tooth, the white part, is what you want to keep as much of. Great book you should get. It's called Cure Tooth Decay by a guy named Nagel, N-A-G-E-L. Great book. I don't think Nagel is a dentist. He's a dental researcher. A lot of those guys are very good because they don't have licenses to worry about, so they can say whatever they want to say. No one can take their license away. Don't knock medical journalists. They deliver some of the most cogent, insightful, inside trading there can be if you have a good one. This guy's good. Nagel. I put it on the site there. Get that book. Eat it up. Couple of interesting things. Number 1. Why do we use mercury? Well, we don't. None of you do. I'm sure the vast majority of you don't. But lots of your friends do. Lots of people still think the mercury thing's a joke because their dentist says it's a joke if they're asked. Because if they don't answer you, if they tell you it's a mistake, we're going to have lawsuits bigger than the cigarette industry's ever faced. We're going to have a revolution. So understand and don't get upset. Save yourself the grief. Your dentist cannot tell you those metal amalgams are dangerous. He's liable. If he opens his mouth too much, he'll get his license pulled. Understand this when you're talking to your dentist. They are thinking of number 1, which is their license. Please never forget that. Never. Don't ask open-ended questions. Don't ask your dentist to tell you what to do. Because once he says do this, he's liable. Or if he's not liable, you're going to come at him angry because you're the scapegoat. He's the scapegoat because you told him what to do. So be careful with that. You got to read between the lines when you talk to your dentist, just like you have to read between the lines when you cross the street or anybody. But that's not the point. Medical journalists can be much more blunt. Get that book. First thing you need to know. We used to fill those holes with gold. Gold. Some of you have gold fillings. I find this fascinating. The American Dental Association, ostensibly because no one could afford the gold fillings, switched to the mercury amalgams. Here's the catch. When you put a mercury amalgam in contrast to gold, you have to drill out about 3 times the enamel. You have to eat up a lot more of that white stuff with a mercury amalgam. Gold is more expensive and less expensive in the long run. Gold was a much better choice. Gold should have been used. Something should have been figured out. Precious enamel? What did we start this show saying? We started this show saying that a healthy bite with lots of enamel on those teeth in alignment constitute the relay switch between your hypothalamic intelligences and how every single molecular reaction in your body occurs. And once those teeth are gone, once those teeth are crooked, you've lost life. Sorry, that's the bottom line. That doesn't mean you can't compensate. That doesn't mean if you have dentures or whatever you've got going on, there's not ways. Remember, the body is an amazing compensatory machine. Amazing. So don't fret if your mouth is or was a mess. But understand this. It ain't good. Bad. everything, every cavity, every crown, every root canal, every implant, everything other than what you were when you had your first adult teeth in, and they were just as clean and virginal as the green grass of ancient times. It's bad. So why would we put in a metal amalgam? Why? Oh, because it's cheaper. Bad move. Now we put in resins. Resins is another word for plastic. We claim that the plastics are better. Well, certainly they don't leak. Caries dye stain test. Go to your holistic dentist and do a caries dye stain test. It's a red dye. I don't want to linger on this. You can get this information anywhere. Caries dye stain. Have your dentist throw it on the tooth. It'll determine whether or not the metal amalgam leaks. The metal, the one with the mercury in it, the ugly brown one, the ugly silver one, the ugly silver one that turns black, especially when it's older. That one expands and contracts like a metal. As it expands, it pushes out the enamel. It kind of fissures the tooth. Fissure. I didn't say crack, fissure. A small micro crack. Those micro cracks are perfect crevices for bacteria to drop into. We went from gold to mercury, silver amalgams. Bad move. You have to drill out more enamel, and they crack the teeth. So we put gold in. So you've got mercury. So go get a caries dye stain test. Find out if those teeth are leaking. Leaking what? That mercury will start to become methyl mercury. It will leak, go gaseous as methyl mercury. Methyl mercury will drive around the body and deposit in lots of places you don't want it to. Brain, kidneys, bone marrow, all sorts of things methyl mercury will do. Mercury in general. See the YouTube video I put on a few shows ago. Boyd Haley, Department Chairman, University of Kentucky. Boyd teaches what mercury does. Gets into the electron transport chain, breaks it down, stops oxidative phosphorylation, brings down your intracellular glutathione production so you can't throw the mercury out. So mercury comes in, it's bad, but what's worse is it breaks down your body's ability to get rid of it. Very smart, atom mercury. You don't want it methylating. You don't want it going into a gaseous state and circulating. That's another story. We'll talk to Dr. Aguilar about that when he comes on the show, which he will be. Or you can go on YouTube and hear it. This show gives you the inside information. Inside, like what gold really was supposed to do. Now, that tooth, if it decays into the enamel, here's another thing they don't tell you. That's reversible. Decay into the enamel. And what is decay? Different bacteria eat the carbs, eat the sugars. The amylase breaks the carb down to the sugar. The bacteria eat the sugar. They make an acid. The acid eats the enamel. Ta-da! If that decay is only into the enamel, it's reversible. That's the good news. Do your dentists tell you that? Do your dentists tell you there's a small cavity? We're not going to do anything. We're going to remineralize it. We're going to watch it. We're going to work on it. That decay has been arrested. See, this is what I love about Dr. Aguilar. When I would go to him years ago, he did my teeth. He's a master. I'd look at a tooth, and at the margins of my teeth, unfortunately, I did too much pizza and Coke growing up in New York City as a kid. Hated dentists. Drill, fill, and bill. When I was in pre-med at Fordham University, early 80s, those guys in the pre-med class, they had their IRA accounts. They already were 17. They had their retirement set up. They used to tell me, don't do medical school. Go to dental school. You work banker's hours. I mean, it was unbelievable what I saw on the East Coast. Dentistry in the Northeast, it was pretty sticky. Don't want to knock it too much. I met Dr. Aguilar, I don't know, 15 years ago. Processed a lot of people with his very skilled hands. He used to see these brown spots in my teeth, even in my dentin. And he used to say, no, we're not going to drill that. That looks like it's arrested decay. We're going to watch it. Does your dentist ever look at the enamel, see something, even if it's an ugly brown spot? Even if he scrapes away the sticky stuff and then hits another surface with his instrument and says, this is arrested decay. We're going to watch it. Yeah, that's what they do. Suppose they put metal in that. Suppose that decay into the enamel starts to expand the tooth. Suppose it's a metal amalgam. Suppose that arrested decay, no matter what they put in, even if it's a resin, separates from the little divot in your enamel. It holds more bacteria then. And if it's a metal tiny filling, it may start doing that expand-contract thing. And although if it's tiny, it's less likely to fissure a tooth, nonetheless, it's going to pull off that little divot. How about we don't do anything to that little divot in the first stage of decay, except point it out, point it out. Put more dental hygiene into it. Bring it to your awareness. Tell you your job as a patient is to make sure that little one doesn't become a big one, because any document will tell you it is reversible. I'll guarantee you, you didn't know that. Comment on this show today. I'd like to know how many people didn't know that. And that's what the show is about. I look for inside stuff that holistic people, that strict people don't tell you. I love that. That's one you don't hear enough of. You just don't hear enough of it. Now, that decay. Look at Nagel's book. You can take, Nagel claims this, it claims, he cites instances where this was done. You can take a whole tooth, a nice perfect tooth, you can take it and you can dump it into a glass of acid. You can dump it, the entire tooth, into a glass of acid. What you would suspect would dissolve that tooth, and 3 weeks later, 4 weeks, 6 months, whatever, some number I can't remember, some ridiculous amount of time, if that tooth is what we call mineralized, if it is sufficiently mineralized, that tooth will not decay. So much for the acid theory. So much for these acids that these bacteria eat off the carbs and sugars that rot out your teeth. What happened if you actually put it in that very acid and nothing happens to the tooth? If what? This is the other part of it. If that tooth is mineralized. I'm laughing now because obviously I'm not going to get this show in today. I can't believe it. Why rush? I guess it's just not possible. I'll have to maybe do this in stages. If not, come to the school tomorrow. 714-850-1007. Serious people that has had the revelation that the answer is education. I hope I get to crowns at this rate. We had tooth decay, crowns, root canals, implants, the gums. That decay is reversible. What creates decay is not just sugar on the teeth and plaque, but how fast the tooth will demineralize. Which means if you're born strong, if the food you eat is strong, your teeth mineralize. If you're well fed, you mineralize. What demineralizes a tooth? Number one, stress. What demineralizes a tooth? Clenching. A bad bite. What demineralizes a tooth? Very poor nutrition. Bad genes. Absence of certain enzymes that actually neutralize decay. What allows decay and those bacteria to work with more intensity? Saliva. Do you snore at night? Is your mouth open? Do you sound like a motor, a boat? Do you wake up sometimes and your tongue is stuck to the roof of your mouth? Do you have apnea? Do you have anterior head carriage? Is your oropharynx so twisted? Yeah. Does your significant other have to run out of the room in the middle of the night because you won't stop making that much noise? I'm going to tell you who's in your mouth clapping. Streptococcus mutans, because in the day, the saliva you bathe your mouth in neutralizes the acids. Saliva is your single most potent anti-decay liquid. Forget fluoride. I don't want to get into fluoride today. Fluoride in the water, it's the devil. Fluoride in the teeth, I don't know. It's bad. I don't know if cost-benefit, sometimes it's worth it. Not sure. Not going to go on record saying one or the other. I know one thing. If you mess with the natural molecular construct of your hydroxyapatite in the enamel of the tooth and make it fluoroapatite, in other words, bring fluorine in, it's going to be more brittle. The enamel is going to get more brittle. But you might be dealing with real cost benefit. Not sure. But here's the point. What resists decay is saliva. Is the saliva alkaline? Take the pH paper all day long, put it in the saliva, and see if you're like 6.8 to 7.2. That's what you want. You don't want acid saliva because it won't neutralize the poisons. Did they tell you that? Did your dentist ask you to check your saliva? Did your dentist tell you that? Did he tell you it's that important? Did he tell you that if you're clenching, you're going to wear down the bone? The gums are going to recede? The teeth are going to decay faster? Did he tell you that? No, he didn't tell you that. I can go on for 7 hours like that. Did he tell you? No, he didn't. 7 hours last Sunday, exactly like that. What you're not told. What demineralizes a tooth? Stress. High cortisol, all your minerals drop out of your teeth. Ladies, after your children, like number three, just when you were kind of like, well, really depleted, we'll say. When you were really, really depleted, did you notice you started to get more cavities? We know this story. This is legion. Dentists see it all the time. After the kids, the decay starts. Before the kids, no decay. After the kids, lots of decay. Why? The tooth is demineralizing. If you go through stressful periods, how many people have I heard over the years? I brush, I floss, I do everything right. I just can't understand it. I don't even eat sugar. Why do I get decay? We see this all the time. Stress creates decay. High cortisol demineralizes the enamel. That's it. So let's turn upside down your version of decay. Yeah, brush your teeth. We're going to get to that. But keep the teeth mineralized. How? Well, cut the cortisol, cut the stress. That's another show, another story. I've talked too much on it before. But what do you know? Tooth decay and stress. There it is. Stress does everything that you don't want it to do. Make sure at night those teeth are brushed. If you're going to brush your teeth once, I know people that brush in the morning but not at night. That's really like a bad choice. If you're going to brush once a day, if you're going to really clean it once a day, if you're going to sit there for 20 minutes and take care of each and every tooth, every nook and cranny, every gum line, every margin, do it at night before you go to bed, especially if you're one of those people that sleeps with their mouth open, which a lot of people do, because you're drying out the saliva. So tooth decay, mineralization. Demineralization is emotional stress. Demineralization is any type of stress, chemical stress. Motherhood is chemical stress. Your kids are sucking out all your chemicals. For the rest of this, you use your imagination. Of course, don't leave out carbs. If you're eating protein and fat, you're going to reduce the incidence of tooth decay. Now, when you get the filling, if it's in the enamel, make sure the dentist nails it and watches it and puts a resin in, better than the metal. Done for now. Take a moment. Picture number 11. Oral-B. I trust my hygienist. I haven't gotten a release to use her name. My hygienist is wonderful. She was a teaching hygienist. Booked out 6 months in advance. It's almost like she doesn't want you to come. I don't mean that literally, but she's busy. No reason to sell baloney. No reason. Not at all. That's what she says, the Oral-B. The circular head. I don't get Sonicare, the thing that goes back and forth and vibrates. Now, if you're brushing with a toothbrush, that one I really don't get. In any event, here's the point. If you want to get a sense of which one of the toothbrushes are best, understand plaque. Plaque is that slippery, slimy stuff that sticks to your teeth. Go out, have a day where you eat a lot of garbage, the carbs, the donuts, the soda. Just do that as an experiment. Don't worry. The sky won't fall. And then at the end of the day, feel how slippery your teeth are. That's the plaque. That's the plaque that the bacteria are producing. That plaque leads to big problems. You don't want that on your teeth. That's why you brush your teeth. Try it yourself. And just tell me if you feel per unit time invested, if the Oral-B does a better job. I say it does. Gail says it does. Oops, I slipped. Point is, the literature says it does. Take it or leave it. There's an opinion. Start that in a toothpaste, and I don't want to get into toothpastes today. Picture number 12. After you brush, get the water pick. Get the water pick. That's all I can say. Get it. Because the toothbrush is not going to get the cracks. It's not. And after that, either get Dr. Tongue's dental floss. Why this guy Dr. Tongue? Yeah, I'm going to do the nitty-gritty. Picture 15. Why? Because picture 15 doesn't look like picture 16. Picture 16 is your typical dental floss. That stuff is not worth it. You need a dental floss that expands. You need a dental floss that expands. Look at picture 18. Look at picture 17 and 18. Picture 18 is Dr. Tongue's Dent Smart Floss, we call it. Great stuff. It expands in your mouth. That's what you want. If you get the other stuff like by Johnson, just the regular dental floss, they act like because it's really thin, it'll get up in the cracks. No, it doesn't. It's so thin, it cuts through the muck and slime up around the root of the tooth. And it leaves it there. It doesn't brush it off. It leaves it there. So if you're going to do a dental floss, get the dental floss that expands. But I'll tell you right now, picture 13 and 14, the Dentec. The Dentec. That is the answer. Now you're talking to a guy that didn't take care of his teeth as a teenager. But I haven't had a cavity in 6-7 years. I've got the tooth thing down. I guarantee you that. And I've watched a ton of people. This show is 57 minutes. I'll go on like this for 12 hours. I couldn't even do it in 7 hours. It doesn't stop. I think that class last Sunday was the best I've ever done. And it amazes me how much is amassed over the years. Look at Dentec there. Look at that brush. Get that brush in between your teeth high up and turn it and scrub it gently to stimulate the gum so that the gum pulls tight up against the dentin. And you'll see, even after you brush, even after you floss, water pick, you're going to find more garbage there, way back in those molars. Very important areas to peruse with something like that brush, Dentec. I'll stop there because we got so much to do. Now, let's go back to that picture, picture number 8. We're barely getting to first base with the info today. Maybe I'll do part 2. I don't know. Come to the class. It's better. Stages of tooth decay. If the decay gets past the enamel and gets into what? The dentin. Now we have bigger issues. It eats into the dentin. We have bigger issues. Worse yet, the dentin is close to the pulp cavity. So now they got to fill it. I'll skip that part. They fill it hopefully with a white resin, not a metal amalgam, or expand, contract, that's going to be a bigger cavity no matter what you do. How are you going to stop, as the tooth fissures open, Streptococcus mutans from dipping down underneath the filling and rotting out the dentin below it? How are you going to stop that? That's why the dentist gives you the x-rays. But how, if you don't want that filling to grow through the dentin, are you going to stop it after there's a metal amalgam in there? You can't. You'd probably have a better shot if they didn't fill it. Well, isn't that what I just said? Try not to fill it in the reversible stage. Different concept, isn't it? You know, no one's going to do what they need to do, so we might as well fill it. Dentistry finds lots of rationalizations because it doesn't want to argue with you. If your dental habits stink, and you don't have time, and so on and so forth, and it's just difficult for you to take care of your teeth, it's easy for dentists to turn around and say, why should I bother with this? They're not going to listen anyway. They have a point. It's not just dentistry that's a little crooked. It's a public that's just naturally lazy. So you see, you get the perfect storm then. Think about that. There's always two sides. All right. Stages of decay. You've taken that decay to the point where there's so much decay that they have to carve down the tooth and put on a crown. Because if they fill it, the tooth is going to crack. And once the root cracks, the tooth gets pulled. Done. Once the root cracks, 9.9 times out of 10, they're going to fill it. They're going to have to extract it. So they don't want the tooth to crack. And so they'll tell you, we're going to put on a crown. What's a crown? You know what a crown is. Picture number 20. A crown is a jacket. All right. Actually, skip picture 20. I'll give you a couple of other pictures to look at crowns. Look at picture 23 and 24. Don't blow them up. Just look at them so we can move here with a little speed. 8 minutes left. I can't believe it. Where does the time go? Like the last 20 years. Crowns. The old-fashioned crowns have the nickel-cadmium jacket, which leak, which are terrible. Nickel's the single most carcinogenic metal. It's leaking out. If you have mixed metals, which nickel and cadmium, nickel, cadmium, mercury, silver, nickel, cadmium, mercury, silver, gold, your mouth lights up like a Christmas tree. Definitely, you increase the rate at which the mercury goes to the gaseous methyl mercury state. That's bad. See the Boyd Haley thing? Great, great, great. There's the metal jacket. Then we have the new ones, 24. Those are the porcelain resin crowns. Degussa, Cirac, there's a whole slew. They look better. You know, it kind of cracks me up. I'd say 50% of holistic dentistry occurs because we got rid of the dark color. That's a little stupid. But that's actually the truth. Wouldn't you want, if you just gave John Q. Public a choice between 23 and 24, you know your average McDonald-eating, coffee-swilling, sugar-sucking American would pick picture number 24. Cracks me up. At any rate, 24 is the right choice. Nobody puts a better crown on your mouth than Aguilera. 949-936-0022. I'm going to plug for him because he's superb. 949-936-0022. His office manager, her name is Penny. She's a doll. They have a great staff there. Very professional. Never in a bad mood, or even if they are, they don't show it. Here's to you, Penny. Picture 24. That's the crown. That occurs when the dentist basically says there's too much decay. I can't trust that the tooth won't crack. Now, to do that, he's got to carve the tooth down. So look at picture 22. You see that stump there? That's the dentist carving the tooth to a point. Yes, I've had that happen to a few of my teeth. He carves it to a point because then he's going to build it up. So he carves it down and builds it up. So picture 22 is the carve down. And look at picture 21. You see in picture 21, you don't have to blow it up. You see in picture 21, that build out there? We go from the sort of like little stump to that big thing that the crown fits over. That's built up with lots of different things. Those are synthetic things that were attached to the dentin. Crowns are not good. Better than cracking a tooth. Now, there's lots to say about crowns that I can't say because I don't have enough time. So, I'm going to say this. Look at picture number 21. And I want you to notice on picture 21, there's a margin there. There's a ledge. There's a little ledge at the end there. That ledge is called the margin of the crown. To carve a margin elegantly with precision is an art form, an art form. To put on a crown that's going to fit on that so that microscopically speaking, everything fits tight, and then with a little glue, non-water-soluble glue, not a water-soluble glue, but a glue that the saliva will not break down. All that together is an art. Because there's something we call the margin of the crown. And that margin is a weak spot. It's a weak spot because once that margin leaks, Streptococcus mutans digs its way up under the crown, way in between the upper two molars. Either it's between 1 and 2 or 2 and 3 or 16 and 17 and 17 and 18 and blah, blah, the back molars where you can't see, and it sends a infection. It sends decay into the margin underneath the crown. That's what you pay a dentist for, to find that. Find it and nail it. Nail it if they just have to watch it. Nail it if they have to carve it out and stop it. But you have to be alerted to it, and you may not see it. Now, how do you prevent that? Get a dentist that understands how to put a margin on top of a crown. That is an art, and I'll tell you, the old dental techs, I'm going to go on public record to say this now because I've had enough objective opinions. Those CIRAC crowns, picture 26, you know, the one-stop thing that they can do with the computer. And, of course, computers replace craftsmanship. Now, you see this in architecture, right? In architecture, we have all sorts of gizmos that we didn't have 500 years ago. So the houses are made better, right? If you believe that, I have a bridge for you. I'd like to sell you a car, truly, and you will deserve what you get. Just because we have a new computerized system doesn't mean it replaces craftsmanship. And honestly, spoken to too many people on this, those dental techs that make the crown, remember? You go for the crown, you do an imprint, it goes to the tech lab. This little guy sits there all day like an artist making a crown so that the margin fits the margin that the dentist carves into your dentin. That's an art form because once that margin is made, you want it to last 5, 6, 7, 10 years. I've had Dr. Aguilera pull off crowns of mine that were 8 or 9 years old. And you know me, I'm going to be on it with that big TV camera. And we pull those off. I don't see decay there. I replaced them after 8 years to see if the claim was good. And it was. And he had some dental techs that were geniuses. So this one-stop shopping, you know, the CIRAC crown, in and out in 2 hours, so you can go back to your life. skip the dental tech, automate it out, robotize it. Hey, technology's always better than mankind. That's Kool-Aid. That's Kool-Aid. Now, once you have that crown on, we can't see under the tooth. So if that decay gets under the crown, into the margin, you don't see it, you're going to get a wake-up call someday. Now, here's a little ditty. Those crowns often need to be pulled off every 5-6 years if you suspect. If your dentist suspects that the margin's leaking, they ought to get pulled. And dentists don't want to do this because if you pull it and the decay was so deep originally, you might need a root canal that you wouldn't have needed that day if you had not pulled out the crown, suspecting that eventually you're going to get a root canal. Old crowns are dangerous. This is why you have to watch them after they go in. I just got the 1 minute bell. I didn't even get to second base today. But I loved it, did you? So much interesting stuff. Don't know if we're going to do this again next week, but if not, come to the class. It's my last one on the teeth. We'll bring Dr. A on eventually, but these are the basics. 714-850-1007. Great to talk to you. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.